Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. Listen, you can get access to all our special patron-only podcasts for a dollar. We have lots of cool other stuff. If you can donate more, because we love you. If you donate at least $3.28, you get a cool magnet. You can get a t-shirt. You can host your own drunk history. There's all kinds of cool perks you can get depending on how you can donate. But it only costs you a dollar, and you get all the free stuff. Me and Andrew did a pre- and post-game show. So go to the site. It's awesome. There's many ways to donate. So do it now. The Saints lost a preseason game to the Arizona Cardinals, Dave. And I feel like Andrew told me this today, and it's the title of this podcast. Our Taysom Hill dreams are dead.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, huh?
Pretty bad.
I mean, Dave, the only way it couldn't have been worse is if they carted him off the field or he lost a leg or something.
I mean, if they carted him off the field, then he might not have committed so many turnovers. He wouldn't have had time to do that.
That's mean.
I mean, I feel like a gruesome injury would have had a lower rating. You know, if you were to rate this game like X or R or PG-13, you know, I think if torn his ACL, the rating would have been lower.
It was a snuff film as far as like quarterback careers go. Like, I mean, you know,
it's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah,
I mean. Granted, it's a preseason game, so it doesn't count. So it's hard to judge it on equal terms. But as far as just sheer horrible quarterbacking, can you think of a Saints game that's been this terrible?
I mean, you guys remember how much ire Aaron Brooks drew and some of the ridiculous, mind-numbing mistakes that he made. And this was like Aaron Brooks on steroids.
Being the backwards pass, he fumbled a lot of snaps too, if I recall right. I mean,
oh yeah, he liked to put the ball on the turf.
I mean, Breeze had the 5 interception game against Atlanta on a random Thursday night. That's probably like the worst quarterback Saints game in the last decade or so. But I mean, this was like Billy Joe.
This was Jamie Howard against UAB. Is what it was.
It was. It really was.
For all you old school LSU fans out there.
I mean, the Jamie Howard thing, they were winning by like 3 touchdowns, and he single-handedly gave the game to Auburn, which was a special skill.
Was it Auburn? Dave,
Dave, you did not attend this game, correct?
Nope. I sold my tickets.
Someone actually paid.
Yep. I sold both. Somebody actually paid for the fourth game.
Oh, God.
I mean, Andrew, granted, now that, you know, I was selling them for pretty cheap.
Andrew,
yeah, how much
you
did you get for the fourth game, Dave?
I do it through the SeatGeek thing, through the Saints, and
you got a happy towboy and a Canes gift card.
No, they like suggest the price, and they suggest it based on the opponent and all that kind of stuff. So I think for the fourth game, I think it was like maybe like $59 a seat. Maybe.
That's a lot.
Nah, I mean.
No, I mean, for the fourth preseason game, I mean,
take
it and run.
That's basically not even a scrimmage, because at least a scrimmage, you would see Drew Brees in the red jersey.
I think it's still less than half the ticket value, though.
I think one sneaky thing about the fourth preseason game this year is that in years past, you already had like a round or two of cuts, so you were kind of forced to play some guys that you didn't really want to play. Whereas this year, they're still going to have the 90-man roster. So basically anyone on the 53-man roster isn't going to be played because Sean Payton's like, nah, I'll just play all the guys that I know aren't going to make the
team. Oh, completely, completely.
So it's gonna, I believe the fourth game will be even worse than usual this year.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, look, my mom had a great line about the Saints' backup quarterback situation a while ago. She said, the Saints without Drew Brees is like New Orleans without pumps during hurricane season. It's not a question of if it will be bad. It's just a question of how bad, which is actually true. But here's the thing that me and Andrew were kicking around on the mini post-game show, Dave, and I want your thought on it. How bad does backup quarterback have to be for the Saints to say no to Savage and Taysom Hill and go outside and bring somebody in?
Worse than this. I mean, I think Savage is fine.
Hold on. As far as Taysom Hill's concerned, that's not possible.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be your backup. I mean, I think we've learned that after this weekend. Tom Savage is obviously your guy, and heck, maybe the guy Barrett, he might even be your third stringer. But I think Tom Savage is okay. I don't think that they're gonna panic enough that they need to bring somebody else in.
Look, we all know they're fucked if Brees is gone for an extended period of time, Andrew. But if they needed to play Tom Savage 1 week like they did Luke McCown in 2016, right? Or 2015?
Yep.
2016.
Could Tom Savage give you what Luke McCown gave you versus Carolina?
Probably not, but I mean, could he go a whole game without turning the football over? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I mean, McCown did throw the game-losing interception, in that game. So, I mean, as well as he played, he saved his worst for last.
Well, no, but I mean, he gave the Saints a chance to win, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, Marcus Murphy ran a punt back. The defense played well. So, I mean, there were some, but no, I mean, not to take anything away from McCown. I mean, he went up against a very good defense, and I mean, it took a ridiculous play by Josh Norman, who at the time was one of the best cover corners in the league, to win that game for Carolina. So, full credit to McCown. He played great. I don't know if Savage can deliver it on that level. To be honest with you, I think the answer to your question is no, but can he come in and at least give the Saints a puncher's chance at a win? I think so. I mean, it depends on the opponent, of course. I don't think he's coming in and lighting the Minnesota Vikings on fire. But they play the Bucks or the Browns or, some mediocre team that maybe is missing some guys. Sure, he can come in and win a game.
Dave, I don't know if – do you hear that, Dave? That is the hype train, and I feel like –
We have
a late arrival that is closing fast and might steal the training camp superstar belt for 2018. I'm talking about Trey Hendrickson. We talked about all these other dudes, Tre'Quan Smith and Onyemata and, Davenport because he was high pick and all these other dudes. Hendrickson might steal it.
Okay.
Agree with that?
No, I don't think anything's going to take it away from Tre'Quan Smith. But I do agree with you that he's having a great camp, that he's playing well in games. It's great to see that, especially since Marcus Davenport still hasn't even been playing. So I don't know if he'll be the star for the whole year of camp, but it's certainly certainly been great to have him play the way he's been playing.
Andrew, do you also mock my Trey Hendrickson being the camp superstar of 2018?
Not at all. I mean, I think if you listen to boots on the ground, if you listen to reporters who actually cover the team and attend the practices, that Marcus Williams maybe is the guy that's stood out and been the MVP of camp. You know, as far as the eye test and, you know, these two preseason games for
Cam
us.
Cam Jordan was gushing about him today.
Yeah, he was. But no, I think Hendrickson looks great. And, you know, Traquan's probably the guy on offense that stood out to me the most. So I definitely agree with Dave. But on defense, Hendrickson, I'll tell you what, man, Okafor and Davenport have both been out. They've both been injured. And I'm not that worried about defensive end, because if they have to start Hendrickson for a couple games while those guys are getting healthy, I feel pretty good about him playing and playing pretty well.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I mean, that's not crazy now, but Andrew, if you'd have said that in May, it would have been insane. But here's a thing that you said that I thought was kind of insane, but other media people were saying it today and yesterday, so I feel like you need to get credit first. You said after Friday, Traquan Smith is the Saints' second-best receiver. Please elaborate on that.
Well, I mean, obviously, Cam Meredith, it's too soon to say anything about him, but at the same time, you know, we know he's missed practice. We know he's recovering from a horrific injury. The only game evidence we have to look at is, yeah, a pass that he should have caught that went right through his hands and ended up being a costly interception. So, you know, I don't know that that's a guy you can really trust right now in a game situation until he shows a little bit more. And, you know, Sean Payton put Ted Ginn on blast for running a couple poor routes that led to some undesirable plays by Taysom Hill. But, you know, Ginn is what he is. I mean, I'm not ready to throw him under the bus or say he's going to be worse. I mean, Ginn, you know, he has a propensity to drop the ball, although that didn't really happen last year. And he, you know, he's a field stretcher, but he's a little unpolished as a receiver. And so, I mean, you look at what Traquan has done in camp and what he's done in these games, and to me, he looks like Mike Thomas's rookie year. And we're not seeing that from Cam Meredith or Ted Ginn. So if you were to ask me right now, like, who's the most likely to have a ridiculous season besides Mike Thomas at receiver, I'm putting Traquan way ahead of the other two.
Yeah, I mean, I said he'd be as good as Kenny Stills 2013. I think he might be better. But Dave, we talk about the Saints' awesome draft, and look, the 2017 draft is clearly, it's a unicorn draft, and the unicorn, the horn is like spitting out money and rainbows. But here's the thing, the Saints haven't like whiffed on a draft pick in a really long time. And when I say whiff, I mean like they just cut the dude before they cut him, he's a rookie, before the season even starts and he doesn't make the roster or whatever. Rick Leonard, he got put on blast in I think it was NOLA.com. They did a feature on him and Clapp, and they were like, Clapp is awesome. Rick Leonard needs to start working harder. He doesn't get the work ethic of the offensive line room, which I was like, oh, shit, that's a bad quote for a rookie. Dave, do you think Rick Leonard, who everybody bagged on when the Saints picked him, do you think he's in danger of not making the 53?
I mean, I haven't been, you know, carefully studying all the offensive linemen.
Dave, like, I don't want to hear that. I want a hot, smoldering take on the Saints offensive line. I don't want to hear takes about, I don't watch film, I don't watch game, I don't know offensive line. People don't listen to this podcast for that. They go other places for that. They come here for hot takes, bad audio, and jokes.
All right, fine. Here, my hot take is just making shit up. Rick Leonard is, you know, he was on the bubble, but forget it now. He's off. He's on the outside of the bubble looking in now.
That's what they pay. That's what they pay for. Andrew?
I still need to see a little bit more. I mean, I definitely think we're going to see a lot of him in the fourth preseason game. Like, he's the guy where he's on the bubble. And the thing about draft picks is, yeah, I mean, they will cut a guy, but
he'll cut a bitch.
But teams also don't like being wrong. You know, I think if it's a guy with potential,
yeah,
and
to it like
the measurables, like
to a blanket,
yeah, they don't mind like waiting a year or two. I mean, Stanley Jean-Baptiste, you know, for example, like they easily could have cut immediately.
Still getting checks. Stanley Jean Baptiste is.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think he gets at least a year. If he's really awful, maybe they try to sneak him on the practice squad. I would be surprised if the Saints like just straight up give up on his development. But I mean, right now, typically the Saints keep two or three reserve offensive linemen. And you just got to think logically, like, you know, they love Cameron Tom, right? You know, German Bushrod is in the mix. You know, Laribius, who was on the team last year, is in the mix. And we know Will Clapp's doing really well. So that's four reserve linemen. Like, I mean, I would even say Michael Ola is ahead of Rick Leonard in the pecking order. So, and then you've got Landon Turner. They like him too. They like Landon Turner too. So, man, like, I just named like five reserve linemen, and I'm not sure that Leonard beats out any of those guys.
Could they cut him and get him on the practice squad, Andrew?
I think so, because number one, he hasn't done anything on tape to remotely suggest that someone should poach him. Now, he is a fourth round pick, so.
But he wasn't, people were like, what the fuck are you doing picking him in the fourth round? Like, he wasn't rated as a fourth round guy.
The only thing that makes me nervous is that he's 6'7", and teams are so desperate for tackles.
Oh, no doubt. Dave, running back, do you feel good about where they are since your boyfriend's going to be out for 4 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, look, they had Terrence West, they had Shane Vereen, they had Jonathan Williams, they had Boston Scott. You know, we needed one of those guys to emerge as a guy who can take over for Mark Ingram for the first four games. And I think it's completely obvious that Jonathan Williams is that guy. I don't see how you could put Vereen or West or even Boston Scott. I mean, maybe because of his special teams, maybe, but I don't see how you could put any of those other guys ahead of Jonathan Williams.
Andrew, and I feel like this is interesting.
I'm actually reading an article right now. I just want to point out one thing. Pro Football Focus, for what it's worth, I mean, we all know what that's worth, but among rookie linemen to see 30 or more snaps so far, he ranks highest on Pro Football Focus for pass protection and second best for run blocking. So at least according to Rick Leonard.
Wow.
So at least according to PFF, he is looking real strong.
He's killing it. I mean, the thing is that quote, Andrew, about the work ethic, man, I was just like, wow. That's like
that's coming from his coaches. Yeah, right? I mean, wasn't the quote from a coach?
Yeah, it was from the offensive line coach.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's saying he's okay, but he's just not coming to work, not putting in the time, doesn't have good habits, man, it's hard to make it in the NFL when you have talent and you're working really hard, you know? So I don't know. I don't think anyone's ever made it in the NFL by not trying.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. I think that the Saints roster is, I don't say that it's like this greatest roster of all time or anything, but they're going to cut a bunch of NFL-ready dudes. Like, I don't think the Saints are going to do their normal thing, Dave, where, like, cut down day, they cut a bunch of dudes and they claim a bunch of dudes, and the bottom of the roster kind of, like, churns. I mean, it will eventually because of injuries, but I don't think we're going to have the thing where they've done the last two or three years where, like, they cut a bunch of dudes and they bring in offensive linemen or they bring in this guy. Like, I think they're going to cut dudes. I don't think they're going to – it's not going to be that much churn because they have so many decent players that they just have to get rid of.
Yeah. What's with you tonight? You keep asking me questions without actually asking a question.
I know.
You just say shit and then you just silence.
My question, I guess,
Dave, have you lost your ability to elaborate?
Extrapolate.
I guess my question to you, Dave, is who's a guy with this roster the way the Saints is that you're looking at and you're like, I think that guy might not make the roster. And it won't be like a guy that we're like, oh, we don't care. It'll be like a Kikaha or a
PJ Williams,
or a Bushrod, right? Like a dude, like dudes that were like, wow, they cut that dude. That's surprising.
I don't think it'll be Bushrod, but it could definitely be Kikaha. That's actually a pretty good example. It could be, well, I guess Boston Scott, they'd probably put on the practice squad, but you got to cut him first, huh?
Yeah, he's got to
get waivers.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them cutting somebody like Boston Scott.
See, though,
I mean, if they're keeping, obviously Kamara staying, but Ingram's going to be suspended. So, I mean, they've got to keep at least two running backs. I mean, right now I would say Jonathan Williams and
Ingram doesn't count toward the.
No, he doesn't. But that's what I'm saying. So if I had to guess, I would say Williams and Scott.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Here's the thing. I feel like, and Andrew, you can just put me on blast if this is totally Saints message board guide. But I look around the NFL and I see Adrian Peterson going on the tour to like the Redskins and other teams. And we know Adrian Peterson is fucking washed. If teams are looking at him, I feel like if the Saints cut Boston Scott, he'll be claimed. Like,
I agree.
I can't, you know.
And he's looked good two games in a row. So, you know, he's putting good tape out there. So yeah, I'm with you. But we'll see. I don't think they can really afford to cut him. You know, Trey Edmonds is another guy, as little as he's playing, he's on their opening kickoff units, and Brandon Tate's had several good returns now. And that's been with Edmonds as the lead up back. And, he actually threw an incredible block on the opening return this week against the Cardinals. So, you know, when I see a guy that's on the opening kickoff unit, that's a core special teams guy. And
yeah,
remember,
Westhoff will pound the table for him.
Yeah, and that's a guy that made the team last year doing that stuff. So, you know, that's the thing. Edmonds has value that a guy like Terrence West doesn't really give you. So, you know, I don't think you can rule him making the team either. You can't rule him out either.
Do you think when they cut special teams players, Dave, do you think Mike Westhoff, do you think not only does he pound the table with his fist, but he pounds the table with his cane that he has to walk around with?
I mean, I think he swings his cane like a baseball bat.
Like Robert De Niro in The Untouchables. Thing. He points that thing at Sean Payton.
I think, or does he like, does he just, he points it, or does he like, it has like a top that's like a Saints helmet and it's diamond encrusted and he like taps his fingers on it like he might just like beat the shit out of you.
I think
that would be the way to get the special teams that he desires. All the guys he wants would make the team.
I think it's like the Penguin where like he's got all different kinds of tools that can just come out of the top of that thing.
Do you guys think Hill is safe regardless of how bad he plays quarterback because of his special teams prowess?
Right now
he was pretty awesome on special teams last year.
Yeah, I think he's safe right now, but if they have I think one critical injury somewhere where the Saints have to do something bumps him off. Like, I think his roster spot right now, it's fine, but it's very, very tenuous, and it could change.
Well, he's going to get a chance to play a little
happens,
bit more.
He's the first guy to go.
Well,
he'll be
able to play some quarterback again. I mean, his stock couldn't be any lower right now. So, you know, if he can rebound and at least look okay, I think, you know, the backup job is, I agree with Dave, it's Savage's to lose. I mean, he's got it. And it's going to take a colossal failure by Savage at this point to blow it. And I don't think the Saints are going to trade for someone or add someone, because you got to remember, like, Savage, he knows the playbook. He's been through all of camp. He knows the plays. And, like, I just don't see the Saints acquiring some guy.
Yeah, and the reps are gone. Like, once the season starts, like, if you're the backup quarterback, you don't get reps. Drew Brees takes all the reps.
Yep. So, you know, the only thing I could see is maybe like if they don't love Savage, they could acquire a quarterback and keep three, Savage and a third guy, until they can get the third guy up to speed, which could take 8 weeks, you know, and then maybe they cut Savage if they're unhappy with him and the other guy's moving along. But, like, I just don't think there's any way that – unless it was, like, Luke McCown coming out of retirement or Chase Daniel becoming available. I mean, unless it was a guy that already knew the system that they were comfortable with, I don't see how there's any way it's anyone but Savage being the backup this year. I mean,
Chase Daniel after guaranteeing him like $4.5 million would be the most Ryan Pace of all the Ryan Pace moves.
I'm here for it.
I mean,
can we talk about that offensive line?
I give this preseason an A+ because of the Saints haven't had any major injuries. But secretly, do you take joy and schadenfreude in seeing other teams have injuries during the preseason? I know that's terrible and you're not supposed to do it, but do you secretly kind of do it?
I totally do. I totally do. It's the best thing ever.
Expound, Dave. Like, do you have do you want injuries in the NFC South more, or do you have other teams that you?
I do. Yeah. No. I was about to say, like, earlier in the preseason when the Panthers had a couple of injuries, like, back to back. You know, I was giggling a little bit. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, and I don't wish any harm or anything terrible on any player. But obviously, from a strategic standpoint, it makes the Saints' road to the Super Bowl that much easier if other teams are missing their better players.
Yeah. See, my thing is, I'm with you, Dave. Like, I can't stand hot takes guy that's like. Or not hot takes.
I want to play the best team.
Yeah, just like, oh well, we should want to beat them at their best, you know, because that's like true, legit sportsmanship. And I'm just like, well, first of all, like, that's pie in the sky. That's not realistic. Like, this is football. Injuries happen. It's not if, it's when, and it's a given. So if we're going to accept that this is football, guys are going to get hurt. I'm going to vote that it be a majority of Atlanta Falcons guys. And when those reports come out on Twitter and they say 20 ACLs so far, and I'm reading down the list and it's not Saints players, I'm like, yes, fuck yes, not a Saints player. You know, so,
here,
I mean, obviously,
here's the thing.
These guys
year,
are people. I feel bad for them.
You know, last year, right, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. We weren't rooting for Aaron Rodgers to get hurt.
No.
But if he was going to get hurt, it happened the week before they played the Saints. Me and Andrew texted each other, Andrew, I believe you texted me, Green Bay, it's a win.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they almost lost.
Like, and if that makes us bad people, that makes us bad people. But at least we're honest.
Yeah, who was the quarterback that replaced him?
I don't even remember his name. I remember they said that he was good. Oh, Brett Hundley, and people were like, "Oh, he's going to be good. He's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Green Bay, they're going to fall off, but he's going to be manageable. They'll still be competitive." And not that first week with the Saints. I mean, he was they had like the 80-yard run to start the game, but after that, he was fucking terrible, and it was great. And
the
Saints fans
tried
who were
so
like,
hard
oh,
to
I,
lose
I wanted
game.
To beat everyone. No, you're full of shit. You enjoyed it just as much as us. I mean, is there anything in the preseason, Dave, that you are looking at and you're like, man, the Saints better get that right, or that's concerning you, I guess?
Anything that they really need to fix and cleaned up stat? I don't know. I mean. Really and truly, when you even look at the last game that they lost, I mean, if you take Taysom Hill out of the equation and all his mistakes he made and turning the ball over, you know, I mean, other than that, I think the Saints played a pretty good game.
They outgained the other team.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about the team. I hate to get my hopes up, but I mean,
how good did that offensive line look?
Yeah, I mean, well, just at all positions, they're much deeper than they really usually ever are. I'm talking about linebacker and defensive line and secondary. I mean, just on defense, they're just a pretty solid unit, and it breeds a lot of confidence for me personally.
Well, Andrew, Dave brought up a good point about. I asked him about what he feels I need to fix, but one thing I forgot to bring up earlier, but we'll talk about it now. Offensive line, not only is it good, not only is it a strength, like this starting offensive line, if they can knock on whatever you got or light a candle or whatever the fuck you do for good luck, if they could stay healthy and they can get Teron Armstead to play 13, 14 games, this offensive line, Andrew, is going to fucking massacre people better than 2011 did, and 2011's offensive line destroyed people.
Yeah. Yeah, 2009 was real good too. But you look at the runs that Jonathan Williams and Mark Ingram had early in the game and the holes that they had to run through. The runs were they weren't having first contact until 8 yards down the field. It was just sheer dominance. Now you wonder how much of that is preseason. Guys don't want to get hurt, so maybe the effort's a little bit lower against the run. But man, the offensive line looked good those first two series. They looked so good, and I think the Saints are due for some luck when it comes to injuries. Honestly, on the offensive line,
maybe they fixed their medical. Dave's been harping on their medical staff for like 5 years, but maybe it just sheer luck says it should turn around and be better, right?
I mean, last year was pretty good. I thought we were pretty lucky last year.
Are you kidding?
No, last year the Saints are the Saints were the only team in the NFL that was in the bottom or had in the top 10 of most injuries and still made the playoffs.
Seemed like they. Well, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I didn't notice it as much because they were able to.
Wasn't there some stat like they didn't start the same offensive line for like 9 straight weeks or something?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, that's where Senio Calamete was. I mean, they were so lucky to have him.
Oh my god!
Last year,
and they might have stumbled into one. They might have stumbled into a really good replacement for him for Clapp. So, kudos to the front office staff again. But here's something I want to talk about before we get to Twitter questions. And this, it's a tough, touchy topic, but whatever. The local media. They seem, and certain people seem obsessed with asking Marcus Williams over and over and over again about the play in Minnesota. And the dude answered it after the game, and now he's just like, I'm moving on. He's doing the Belichick. And the local media, they keep asking him. They put him on blast on Twitter. And I'm just like, and I guess either one of you can jump in here. I just feel like it's so dumb and clickbaity. And part of the reason why the media is dying in New Orleans, the sports media is not doing well. The papers aren't doing well. The NOLA.com just lost a bunch of guys, good guys that were good at their jobs, like Holder and the guy who covered the Pelicans and all that. But I just like what like I guess Andrew or Dave, when does Marcus Williams have the right to not talk about the worst moment of his life?
He's got the right to do it now. You know, it's his life. He's answered the questions about it before. It's going to keep coming up. If he has a great season, everybody's been saying how great he's been in training camp, how hard he's worked this offseason to come back from this play. If he has the season that everybody thinks he's or expects him to have, you know, it's going to be a storyline. Constantly, you know, if the Saints go to the playoffs, I mean, obviously when they play Minnesota, it's going to be a storyline. If the Saints go to the playoffs, you know, it's going to be brought up again. You know, he's going to have to deal with it, but I mean, he doesn't have to talk about it, but he's certainly going to have to keep hearing about it for a long time.
I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, I think media guys can ask whatever they want, you know, and the players can say whatever they want in response. I mean, that's how it works. And I mean, you can ask if you want, and he'll say whatever he wants to say. But I just think going on social media and whining about it after the fact because you didn't get and this is tough, I think. On some level, I understand where it's coming from. I think these guys are probably sweating their jobs more than ever, and there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of pressure to get that buzzword quote so that they can get more clicks or sell more units. And so I think the landscape for a media guy in New Orleans right now, especially, is as tumultuous as it's ever been. And they've got to work really hard. So I empathize with them a little bit in that I have some empathy just for those guys, cause I know they're in a pressure cooker, but at the same time, like, I just think it's insanely unprofessional to talk to a guy about something he doesn't want to talk about and then complain on social media and put him on blast because he's not giving you what you want. These reporters are not entitled to a quote from Marcus Williams. He's either going to give it to him or he's not. And if he's not, then they've got to move on and explore other ways to get clicks. That's how journalism works.
Yeah. The one thing that I did find that was interesting is Nick Underhill has assumed the throne of the king of Saints media because if the media has like a pecking order of like lowest to highest, like the media people were attacking Nick Underhill about how he was dealing with Marcus Williams, which is interesting. Nick Underhill's only been here for a couple of years, but he's so good at his job. He's like assumed the throne as like the number one Saints media guy, which you can disagree with. You can throw out an argument. You can disagree with me, but I found that fascinating that like other media guys were sniping at him, and Nick Underhill, he's the king of Saints media, which is I find.
No, I'm with Nick. You know, his response was, I already asked the question. He's like, at some point when you keep asking and the guy's like, no, I'm not talking about that. Like at some point you've got to move on and start looking for different angles. Cause he's made it clear that, and, you know, so then you've got these other guys. No, it's our job to keep asking the question. And, you know, we it's free press and we've got to do what we've got to do. And that's fine. But then, you know, if it's just a waste of everyone's time, at some point, like, you've got to try to make a better article out of something else.
Well, at some point when Marcus Williams, if he becomes this really, really big star, look, he's a safety, so I don't think he'll ever transcend football. But he'll just basically freeze out the local media and just talk to national guys and go on his and communicate fans through Twitter. And that's the thing that'll happen. The one thing that I will say about interviews, and I used to be one of those people, you got to ask the tough questions. And I still believe that to a certain extent. But a lot of times, look, if you are interviewing somebody and you know that they get asked a question all the time and they hate getting asked it and they don't answer it, when you ask that question in an interview, basically from that point on in the interview, you've set it afire and it's going to go shitty because you basically know that you're going to antagonize them and you're not going to get anything out of them the rest of the time. So I think that's the way to go a lot of times with guys where they've repeatedly said they're not going to answer something. Now, if it's like a new thing after a game, you got to ask them. And it's, you know, the first time you got to ask them. But after that, it just becomes monotonous. But it's an interesting little media war inside Saints that probably only six people care about. But I found it interesting.
Is Larry Holder going to the Advocate?
No, I think he's going to the Athletic. That's my theory.
What is that?
It's a paid national site. You subscribe and they have like they don't necessarily have micro sites, but they have
expertise writers.
Yeah, they have like they hire people in different cities and they have like the Athletic Houston and they have people cover the Rockets and everything. And you subscribe, you pay like $8 a month and you get access to everything the Athletic. So you get access to Chicago and New Orleans and New York and all that, and they're trying to make it a go. Other sites have tried this, and it hadn't really worked. The Athletic has a ton of venture capital and big guns behind it, so it'll be interesting to see if it actually works, but that's what
they do have. They do have some heavy hitting reporters, you know, that are they're paying a lot of money. Like, right, Grouse, I've said there's investment behind it, so you know, they're able to pay prime dollar. And I think a lot of these reporters that are respected reporters that are leaving for the site are getting paid more than they were getting paid by their newspapers. So
newspapers,
but I haven't heard that. I mean, I don't know. If Holder right now is unemployed and he said, stay tuned for what's next. So, you know, maybe he has to wait 2 weeks to announce something.
Let everybody know.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, Larry, I don't know. I'll be honest. I always thought Larry was entertaining on the radio, and I never thought his writing was exceptional. Larry's a great guy. You know, he's always been good to me, and he's always I thought had entertaining takes on the Saints. So I certainly hope that he'll continue to do it because we certainly don't need less guys that are good at what they do in New Orleans.
No, less coverage in New Orleans is not great. Yeah. They are. It's getting to where it's like skin and bones almost with the Saints, which is kind of crazy. The last thing I wanted to talk about before we get out of here is, and I emailed you guys this picture. It might be the greatest picture I've ever seen in my life. It's an old picture of Edwin Edwards, the former governor of Louisiana. It's from 1979, and he is in a skin-tight I Hate the Falcons t-shirt at a Saints game. And apparently it was a scandal in 1979 because it was like, how could a governor do this? And it was, you know, uncouth or whatever. But Andrew, I'm ready to forgive any bad thing Edwin Edwards ever did.
Wow. Because he wore that t-shirt.
We've jumped that shark, huh?
Yeah.
I support it.
Do you disagree with me, Andrew?
No, absolutely not.
It's.
I mean, I don't care how much money you embezzle. I don't care. I mean, there are certain things in life that are just non-negotiables, and putting up with the Falcons is at the top. Or, you know, not putting up with the Falcons.
We might need to go meta, Dave, and like one of the T-shirt options for people that pledge can be a T-shirt with the picture of Edwin Edwards wearing the T-shirt.
I can actually make that happen.
I don't know. Well, I think we'd get busted for like copyright infringement using somebody else's photo. But that would be a great t-shirt.
I can at least make you one as a gift.
I think you'd wear it every day.
I think I would.
What size do you wear?
I need a full. Can you make me a full body onesie that I could go to sleep in? So before we get out of here,
make sure you make his bad arm sleeve a lot smaller than the
what size do you wear?
I don't know, like a medium.
Okay.
I'm not a big man.
A medium.
So I mean, the Saints are playing the Chargers this week.
National TV, right?
National TV. They're practicing against them this week. What are we looking? What are you excited about? What do you want to, Dave? What do you want to hear tweet wise as people live tweet the practices? What tweets do you want to see that'll make you even more excited about the 2018 Saints?
I mean, obviously, I don't want to see any tweets about somebody getting injured, and that'll go for both sides.
But if it has to be one or the other,
I'm gonna pick
the Chargers. Yeah,
I'm gonna pick the Falcons.
Man, they have like a plague infested upon them.
No, you know what I want to see? Because we're going to see it. It's almost guaranteed. I want to see a fight breaks out.
Ooh, no, Sean Payton is really anti-fighting.
Yeah, they still happen. I want to see a fight.
You say that, and yet my first image of Sean Payton was of him poking Jamal Brown in the chest, just begging to get punched.
I forgot.
I forgot about that. So good. Andrew, I want to see Marcus Davenport looking pretty good, and I just need tweets of him looking okay in practice. Not great, just that he's out there
just
and he's looking okay.
That's, like, I don't even need him looking good. Just like a play. Yeah. I'm with you. You know, honestly, for me, I think it's – I just want confirmation that the offensive line is badass, you know. And I've convinced myself that that's going to be the saving grace for the Saints this year, is that the offensive line is just going to be dump-trucking people. And this defensive line, I mean, you've got
Bosa, and you got Ingram.
You got Bosa and Ingram on the edges. And then, you know, their interior, they got Mbane, and they've got Corey – I don't even know how you pronounce this, Liuget or whatever. He's really good. So their front four is as good of a front four as the Saints might face this year. And you're going to get at least a half of the ones, I would think. You know, in his press conference, Sean Payton said, this is, you know, eventually we have to see what we're made of and what kind of team we have. And so I think he's really going to play the starters a good bit, and he's going to expect a clean and solid performance. But this is a tough opponent. And I believe right now the Saints' biggest strength is their offensive line, and they're going right up against what I think is the Chargers' strongest part of their team, their defensive line. So if the Saints can come through both practice and this game, the first half of this game, with flying colors on that end of this, you know, in that facet of the game, then that has me convinced that they're untouchable if they stay healthy in the offensive line.
I like it. Dave, who, make me a prediction, give me a bubble player that's going to either make the roster because of what they do this week, or it's going to get them cut.
A bubble player that's either going to make the roster or it's going to get him cut. I guess I'll go with Barrett's. Is Barrett going to play? Do you think he's going to get any playing time?
I think it'll be tougher for him to get in because
Breeze
is playing more. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Breeze will probably get – you guys think he'll get a quarter or a half?
Just a quarter. I don't think he'll get a half.
If the, yeah. It'll depend. I mean, if they put up 10 points – if they put up 10 points – touchdown, field goal, done. I could see Sean Payton being like, that's enough, and it's like a quarter, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm trying to think of somebody.
If they go three and out, he's definitely playing in the second quarter, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they'll have more than one drive in the first quarter, hopefully. I still haven't answered the question. I'm going to go with Brandon Tate. He's going to have a kick return. And he's going to make the team. He's going to lock himself in.
He's going to lock it down. That's a good.
Now he's in. He's on the inside looking out right now. That kick return.
But I think he's
going to lock it in with a return.
He's going to lock it. He could another 35 plus yard return, and he locks it in so well that he could even make a bad play and still have it, I think.
Yeah, I think at this point, really, he doesn't even need a good return. He just needs to not fumble.
Yeah. He's got to par his way in.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
So that wraps it up for today. You got luxurious audio, hopefully. So go to our page. You can donate $1 and get access to all the shows. You can donate more amounts and get magnets and t-shirts and maybe host a drunk history. So do it. It is a fucking $1 a month. So do it now. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
It's a fucking $1.